Kayla.
This is Desi.
And you're listening to Sunday Sips.
Talks about the culture.
What are we drinking?
You got it!
I know. Wait, should we cheers first?
Yes, cheers to...
Episode 15?
Yes, 15.
True crime?
True crime with red wine.
Yeah, that's why I picked it. Well, you said wine this week, so I picked a nice red Malbec. Enrique Foster?
That's my dad's name.
Made in Argentina. Mm-hmm.
What's the name of it?
I don't know. IQUE.
IK?
It's got some nice, like, grape vineyard, like, vine graphic.
Yeah, red bottle, red
wine.
It
is a red label, yeah. And I figured, like, red is the color of blood. Because we're talking about, like, true crime today. I'm getting very, like...
Evil?
I wasn't gonna say evil. I was thinking more like middle-aged suburban.
Oh, that's person. Way different than the word evil. Sorry.
Wine drinker. like the 75% of women that watch true crimes
with wine, absolutely, and chocolate.
So yeah, that's all we got to say about this wine. It's actually, I like Malbecs. I haven't had one in a really long time, so
I like them too. Let's see what it tastes like. Cheers. It's good.
Yeah.
It has like a, I don't know, like a blackberry aftertaste, kind of.
Okay.
Like a dark berry aftertaste. I mean, Malbec is made of dark berries, but I feel like it tastes like blackberry or something. Does it say what's in it? It says an intense punch. Oh, it says, oh, it's cherry. A fresh cherry. Yeah, I can see that.
What does it say? Intense?
Purplish red, spiced remnants of fresh cherry.
With subtle touches of oak.
Yep.
Young and very fruity. With balanced
acidity?
Yes. I can't even say that word. Like, I knew what it was.
Yeah, it's one of the words. Yes. Young and very fruity with balanced acidity. How do you balance acidity in wine?
Do they do it?
They did it. They put it in the bottle.
All right, let's get in the news.
Let's do it. In case
you haven't heard, I don't have a whole lot, like two stories, but one kind of leads into our topic, so I'll do that one last.
Okay.
First story, California is like on fire, like SOS. We need to go save them. Like, honestly, people are getting saved in California. So California has been engulfed by wildfires. 24 major burning fires right now are going on in the state of California.
24?
Yes, like separate fires. And this is due to like high heat. They've been having record high heat. Mm-hmm. They've gotten some winds. And, like, literally everything is catching fire. This last one was said to have been started by a gender reveal party. Gone awry, obviously, because it started a fire, but, yeah.
Wow.
But it's just so dry, and all the woods, like, everything is just sparking.
How'd the gender reveal do that?
I don't know.
Oh.
It might have been, like, one of those, like, explosives that are, like, you know, like, pink or blue and, like, tells you if it's a boy or girl.
And then turn on fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dang, that's
That's sick. Not the first time one of those parties has started a fire.
Damn.
Yeah, like, the person who coined gender reveal parties, she's now, like, publicly saying, like, don't do it. Oh, it's not cool anymore. Like,
I feel like California has been on fire a good amount of times in my life. Like high school, they had a fire. Like, is that just... And this is just me not knowing geography.
They do have, like, a fire season.
Okay, yeah.
But this is unprecedented fires.
My goodness.
So, yeah.
So, it's fires here, and then...
And then it snowed in Denver today.
Dang. And then here, on Labor Day, it rained so much. Did you see how, in the news, Cleveland had the third wettest day in history?
I might have.
Yeah, I sent that to you.
Posted it.
Yeah. I was like, well, damn, we just getting all different types of stuff throughout the U.S.
Well,
yeah.
Global warming.
A lot, yes, for sure. All right, what's next? Prayers are out for California.
Next, we're talking about the postmaster again. Right. So.
DeJoy?
Yeah. Either one or two episodes ago, we were talking about the post office and how, like, the mail is running slow, and they can't guarantee that our ballots will be turned in on time, and blah, blah, blah. So, DeJoy is back in the news, and I think he really, like, must have upset somebody, because they're going after him. Like, people are digging up his past. He happens to be a very big Trump donor. And, like, that's how he got into his position as postmaster. So, people are, like, looking into his background and the businesses that he owns and owned in the past. Mm-hmm. And they're looking into campaign fraud. Ooh. Right. Talk about crimes. True crimes. Like, there's true crimes happening in the White House and everywhere else.
It's been happening in the White House. Well,
allegedly, we don't know yet, but he, like, had his employees write checks to the Republican Party as campaign donations, and then he reimbursed them through, like, bonuses through the company, ooh, which if comes out as true, is illegal.
Very.
So.
Wow.
He's going to be in the hot seat for, yeah, like, the spotlight is on him. He should have just not cut their PTO. Mm. Make sure right, those ballots got there on time.
That's why people need their days off. You give them their days off or they come back with vengeance.
They come for you. So oh, Jesus.
Somebody didn't get their birthday cards and just like, you know what? There's a lot of gift cards swarming in the mail that I ain't got yet. All right.
We're talking about the real true crime.
Yeah, let's talk about our topic. So our topic is true crime. And I think, I don't know how, like, if you thought of this topic. I know when I thought about it, I just kind of felt like I realized that I was watching a lot of true crime, especially during quarantine, because mm-hmm. there's always, like, a lot of seasons of it.
Yeah, this is your topic.
Yeah, and then I also was thinking about, like, I've seen podcasts that, like, are completely dedicated to true crime, and I just started, like, listening and reading stuff and seeing, like, the media plays in. I was like, dang, this is, like, a whole ass thing. Like, all, like, just way bigger than, I guess, what I imagined it was by me just watching Snapped every now and again. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of want to talk through it, explore it. So I guess the first thing we could start with is, why do you watch true crime?
I think it's very addicting. I'm, like, drawn to it. I think part of me, for one, like, I watch Forensic Files. Mm-hmm. And those types of shows that really get into, like, the details of the crime scene. Like, I like those kind of shows.
Do you like the science of it?
I do. Okay, yeah. Yes, I do. And it makes me think, like, okay, if I ever got attacked, heaven forbid, I'm going to scratch the shit out of somebody because mm-hmm. there will be some tissues under these dead nails. Like, so it makes me feel, like, comfortable that, like, okay, like,
it's a teachable moment for you.
It's a teachable moment. What else do I like? Sometimes I like Law and Order. I don't know who doesn't. But some of those shows are, like, very scripted regimen yes. to where it's just familiar. So, yeah. like, every episode of Law and Order, you don't have to watch the whole series to know what's going on.
No, it's not just episode, being interviewed.
Right. Each episode you can watch on its own. It stands yeah. alone.
Yeah, that's true.
And
yeah.
then there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. There's usually resolved at the end.
Yeah.
And it's, like,
your brain can follow right. it.
And you don't have to think that much. So it's like, that's this real. Is perfect.
That's real. I watch true crime because, A, I think I kind of grew up on true crime. Like, my grandma loves Lifetime in the News. My mom loved Law and Order and, like, Forensic Files. And I think that that's just kind of what I grew up watching. I think, and this is, it's not a funny story, but it's funny now. I remember one time my dad told me that when I was a kid, he wanted to run to the store real quick. And he was like, and Desi, like, just lock the doors, like, behind me. You know, like, parents will go, like, run to the gas station real quick and get, like, something. And I was like, but Dad, what if I get kidnapped? And he was like, you're watching too much TV with your grandma. Because, like, I just watched so much crime TV. I was like, my first thought was like, I'm going to get kidnapped if I'm left alone in a car. And he's like, I'm right there. Mm. So I feel like,
so the curse of, like, paranoia in you that you didn't need to have?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I think I grew up watching true crime, and I think I just became interested in it because, like, A, I do like science. I do think sometimes the science is very, like, interesting, how they can find, like, one speck of something and lock somebody up after, like, 20 years. You're like, whoa. I also like the, like you said, the predictability in the plot. I usually have TV on as I'm doing other things. And so when true crime is on, especially if it's, like, Snapped or, like, Deadly Women or anything on the ID channel, like, you said, you can follow the plot. And I think sometimes, like, the surprise and wow factor in some of the things, I'd be like, dang, you can't even script nothing this crazy. Like, I really do believe real life is crazier than fiction. So yeah. sometimes I'm like, dang, they did what? Oh, they was crazy. So I think.
So you like seeing how crazy other people are?
Yeah.
that's real.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm going to get into later like what the problems with that could be. But at that time, I'm like, woo, this woman was crazy. Do you think that's the reason why other people watch it? It's just like the predictability. I think it could give people like kind of like false sense of security.
Yeah, I don't know why other people watch it. I mean, so we found out that it's majority women.
Yeah.
It's like 3/4 women to men ratio.
And that 1/4 of men is probably watching it with the woman who's making them watch it.
Whatever. They started watching it with their girlfriends.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh shit.
This is good.
I need to watch this to the end.
Yeah.
I
got it. So all 45 seasons of it.
Right. So, but I was thinking, like, I wonder if your proximity to crime itself influences your true crime show consumption.
Yep. Let's go through the 4 reasons we found and then go into the proximity.
Okay.
So, let me see. I want to say the article name and who this was. So, Rasmussen College, just to say who it was, did a article called The Psychology Behind Society's True Crime Obsession. The first thing was, we're curious about what drives people to do the unthinkable.
Yeah, like that snap moment.
Yes.
The whole snap.
Yes, like out of nowhere, she's like, had it.
So like what?
Like what are people causes
breaking
that
points?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, looking for them breaking points. The second one was, we want to preserve our belief in justice.
Yeah, now that could go either way, because I think it could either preserve it or nowadays it's crumbling.
Yeah, that could be. It could also be evidence of, see, things aren't what they used to be, or they've always been what we thought it was.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, so watching Forensic Files, they will open these cold cases and then find out through new technology that was not available back then that is now, they might have found the killer or even exonerated the person who took the charge for that crime, who now really didn't commit it.
Yes.
And I just think there's so many flaws.
It's like shedding light on the flaws. And it's almost like evidence for other people. Like, see, like we told you this was a problem. Look at this example.
Yeah.
I watched one show where literally it said before forensics, police use their gut. And I was like, you mean to tell me they were using their racist gut?
Exactly.
In some cases?
Absolutely, yeah.
So the other one is, we're drawn to the adrenaline of fear. Which I'm kind of like, that makes sense. But then like some people won't even watch scary movies, but they'll watch true crime.
Drawn to their adrenaline of fear.
Yeah. I think it could be like the controlled feeling of fear. Almost like how some people will ride roller coasters. Or it's like, you know, you're going to get that little, oh my God, like a little dose of adrenaline and like being shocked or surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But you know that you're safe. So when you watch true crime, you're doing it in your own home.
Because it's not happening to you.
No. So it's like we're drawn to the adrenaline of fear, but we don't actually want something to happen to us.
Okay.
You're like, okay, Andesia. The other one was, we're driven by our longing for survival. That's the 4th one.
Yeah, because like I said earlier, as a woman and someone who lives alone.
That's true, we do.
I think about how my survival. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Me too, yeah. That's true. I've watched episodes and been like, well, I have my keys on me all the time.
I better lock both of these doors. All the padlocks.
Everything. Yeah, I'd be locked down.
Maybe some extra, like, spotlights outside for security.
One thing my grandma taught me growing up is to make sure you have one heavy object in each room.
To hit somebody with?
Hit or throw.
It's not a bad idea.
I know.
I think that's why I have a dog. Like.
Yeah, I got one of them, too, but mine would just make a lot of noise.
Yeah, I was like, your dog, it doesn't strike me as a security
dog.
Hey,
he could scrap, though. Don't you play Baxter. Baxter could scrap.
Okay, but
he'll at least let me know.
Okay, Baxter's a beagle, though.
A hunting dog.
But not, like, hunting people.
Like, he's loud. If you don't, if you outside the house, he sound like a big dog. So if you hear him and you still come in... okay. then you don't, like, you crazy.
Yeah, Jordan has a good bark. Like, Jordan's got a good bark. I think that she sounds like a big dog. Yeah.
Baxter sound like he ready. So he gonna do that. And then, like, he can run around and jump. He can do the wow factor on the criminals while I go get my heavy object. Mm-hmm. Okay, but see how we already have a plan for if somebody were to walk up in the house, which is a safe thing to do. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes watching true crime, it's like, oh, you're seeing other scenarios. And you're kind of like...
I've had instances where, you know, I am home alone and someone comes to my door. You know, I kind of panic for a minute. Like, who is this? Like, should I answer the door? Should I not? Like, are they going to announce themselves? No one just shows up anywhere. Like, you call before you come over, so it's not someone I know.
Exactly. One time my DoorDash came back because they missed something on the order, and I didn't think it was coming back. Mm-hmm. And so I just canceled it, and then they came back with the other half of my order. And I just didn't answer. Just like, I'm not here. Even though, like, they must have known, I didn't answer them down.
Mm-hmm. So you never got your food?
I did after they left.
I've had the police at my door. Oh, my I've had goodness. Young gentlemen when my sister was living with me, you know.
Oh, that's yeah.
No, it's not different.
No, I'm saying, like, at least when someone else is here, you're like, oh, they're here for the other person.
No, I don't know. That's true. I wasn't expecting them.
That's real. They wasn't your company. Okay, so we can go into, so now your question that you had about proximity.
I've been around crime. Uh-huh. I would say I've been a victim of crime, like, before. Mm-hmm. So maybe that is what draws me to these criminal stories.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think? Do you think people who have experienced crime or been victims of, like, find it more fascinating?
I think it can go either way. I think it could be something you watch because you're drawn to, or it could be something you avoid because it's triggering. So I think that, like, when I talked about the show...
That's true. Yeah.
First 48, and I used to watch it, and then I had someone kind of explain to me in the way they see it and how it's triggering to them, because they're like, they're going to these communities and you see, like, one person's life lost and another person going to jail, another loss. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's a black male, so you see, like, two black males losing their lives by the end of the episode. Mm-hmm. After she said that, I said I can't watch that no more. Right. And First 48 has been taped in Cleveland before. Like, they've had, Cleveland had to tell them to stop. Come
right, on. I was going to say that, because it can hit close to home.
Yeah, so I.
So it could be like, this is too sensitive of an area for me. Like, I can't watch this particular episode. This
yeah, like, it might be in a neighborhood I've seen before, or, and I just, so I think for me, that's one show I've stopped watching, because I'm just like, it's too real to me.
Yeah, there's an episode of Forensic Files that is filmed in Mansfield. Ooh. And I still haven't watched it. I started it and I got like maybe 5 minutes in. I was like, this is too close to home. Yeah. And I already know the gist of the story because I came from the town it happened in. So I'm like, maybe another time.
Yeah. There's even stuff that I'll scroll through. Like, I've seen a lot of, like, black stories come up on Hulu. And some of them are highlighting successes, and some of them are, like, very triggering for me to see the titles of, even. Because I'm just like, I don't know. So I think that could also be a thing, too. Is some stuff we just, either you're drawn to it for proximity, or it's triggering to you, and you're like, I can't even look at this. But then the true crime genre is so daggone big. Like, everyone can find a true crime show they like, because there's so many of them. I guess the only thing I want to talk through is, like, the origins of true crime and maybe how this has turned into such a big, desirable thing. So I know I watch a lot of TV. And because I watch a lot of TV, I do, like, a lot of research to make sure that I'm not just putting stuff in my brain that someone else said. So I was looking up, after I watched the show Mindhunter and I watched the show Trial by Media, I started doing research on the correlation between the understanding of, like, criminals and the media, and how, like, both of those things picking up was, like, a perfect storm for, like, crime TV. So I think about the term serial killer. That wasn't really known until, like, the 70s. Mm-hmm. Like, before that, people didn't really understand crime could be something organized. They just thought crazy people do a crazy thing one time, you lock them up, and you figured it out. Like, no one understood there's, like, precursors. There's, like, nature versus nurture. There's... like, people may have a type they go after in these types of crimes. There's, like, a profile. And I think that new discovery of information was intriguing to people. Then, you know, in, like, the 80s, you're seeing trials being broadcast. And so now you're seeing like, oh my God, there's this person who's done what? Oh my goodness, like.
You mean like trials, like big?
Yes, like the.
The OJ trial.
Like the OJ trial, the Ted Bundy. Well, the OJ trial, like, yes, that was a big, that was really big. Like, he was driving around. But like those cases were like, oh my God, the crime was so maybe like outrageous that people are intrigued as to how can a human being do this? And do they even believe that human being did it? Because like OJ, people believed he didn't do it, or at least wanted to believe it.
Wanted to.
Ted Bundy, I mean, some women just said, we couldn't believe he'd do something like that. So it's almost like you have this shock of this new information coming in that you didn't think was possible. And the media has an outlet for you to figure out the questions.
I think it like rattles people's status quo.
Yeah.
And that's what they don't like, or, you know, then it's like, well, how can this be?
Yes.
And like, because some of those people like looked just like your regular nice neighbor, you know, like.
Yeah,
like
OJ was a hero in football for a while.
Oh, yeah.
And then I think there was, it was like after the wave of like Johnny Cochran, Rodney King. Mm-hmm. Remember how the police got dismissed on that? So it was almost like the black community was like, we don't want to see OJ go to jail. Like he had a lot of support from the black community.
And he took advantage of the moment.
He showed it.
I mean, can we all agree right now that he did it? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's go ahead and just.
So, but like, he was a celebrity, and it was almost like he didn't even. He wanted people to, in a way, look at him as a black man. He wanted. Yeah. I feel like he wanted the black community to look at him as a black man.
Uh huh.
And he wanted the white community and everybody else to look at him as an OJ.
Athlete. Yeah, just OJ, the athlete.
Because he's like, I'm not black, I'm OJ.
Yeah, he said that shit.
So it's manipulative.
It very. And I think, but that's what, in most of the cases that we see that got a lot of publicity, that's what they do. They manipulate the messaging that they want for certain people.
Yeah.
So.
And it worked. Shit, yeah. They got him off.
Yeah. Yeah. But everybody was interested in that case. Everybody. And there's certain cases that just like shake up America. And the media was not always allowed in courtrooms. Like TV was not always allowed in courtrooms. And once TV got into courtrooms and court TV came out and people could actually see what's happening inside trials.
Nancy Grace. Did you ever watch her?
Oh, girl, did I watch Nancy Grace. I love Nancy Grace.
You do?
No, not anymore. I used to love the Casey Anthony case. I was on Nancy Grace. I used to love her. Now I'm older and I realize I probably wouldn't have liked her show now that I'm 28. But I was 15. Girl, I thought I knew something. Mm-mm. But even those type of shows. What's the other girl's name? Jane Valdez. Like.
Who's that?
I thought she was the other person who came on after Nancy Grace.
I don't know.
Oh.
I didn't watch Nancy Grace.
So you didn't watch who came after.
Nope.
But I think that's when crime TV started to become like a thing. Like people got to see, like they started associating crime with like almost like a feeling of entertainment and of also knowledge. Like I'm learning things.
Yeah, but that's kind of fucked up in a way of entertainment because these are real people's lives.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. There's real victims. There's real families who are mourning and have lost.
I mentioned Cops. So I was like, how the hell was Cops still even on? Like, well, they just shut it down. But
did they? Because I thought that was still just going quietly in the background of some network.
I thought that.
It probably is.
I thought after these recent unrest, terminate?
Probably.
Canceled Cops.
Canceled Cops.
But I was, because when I heard the news, I was like, Cops is still going? Like, Cops was going in the 90s when I was a kid. Like, what channel is Cops on and who is still watching it? But that's just like we're romanticizing arresting people and sending them off to jail.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's what we value in our society.
Damn. Yeah, that's real. I mean, I guess we could go into true crime in the criminal justice system, because that was one of the points that you talked about, was how Cops was on for so long.
Yeah, and then.
And these are people who are innocent until presumed guilty. And all, but when you see them running like that, everybody's thinking.
Are they?
They're guilty.
Are people really innocent
until proven
guilty?
No, they're not. I mean, they're supposed to be, but are they treated like that?
No.
And Cops didn't treat them like that. They was doing some wild speed chases for someone who's innocent and proven guilty.
So, what else? Like, well, okay, so the criminal justice system. Like, I have...
Do you think true crime
makes it look... Close relations with the criminal justice
system. How do you have close relations with the criminal justice system, though?
I mean...
You've been locked up?
No, not personally. But I'll tell you, my mother has spent most of her career in corrections.
Oh, yeah. I know where
you can go. I used to go up to the prison to, like, you know, go pick her up and visit her and stuff.
You used to go into jail?
So when you get there, there's a main building you go to.
Okay.
And then there's a desk. You don't go all the way in to the campus. I stay out in the main building, and then she'll come out and meet me.
Okay.
But they had a barber shop right there, so I've seen inmates. I've had family members who have been inmates. So yeah, I mean, and it's a big employer of the city I'm from. Like, yeah, I know so many like correction officers. So yeah, I would say the criminal justice system is a big part of my life. I mean, yeah. What about you? Does it touch you at all?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you don't want to talk about it.
Let's see. Well, I mean, I can. You just did. I have people I know who have been locked up. I know people who work to advocate for the rights of people who are in the system. My grandpa used to be a supervisor of a juvenile facility. He did that for a really long time. My mom's had multiple, like, different jobs in social work and working with the Louisville Police Department. I think true crime makes the criminal justice system look better than what it is, because I feel like most of the cases we see are solved, and I don't know.
That's true, because there are so many cases that just go unsolved.
Yeah, so I feel like all we see is the open and closed cases sometimes, even though it's really weird to watch, like, wow, that woman, like, did some crazy shit, like, she got caught. And I think that it kind of gives a false perception of, if you do something, you're going to get caught, and that's not always what it is or how it is. Like, I didn't mean to, like, get very dark, but it's just the truth. No. And I do think, I agree with you, that true crime, because you said it earlier, it romanticizes the perpetrators. Like, we think about...
But I've been noticing, like, some newer documentaries.
Yeah.
Like, especially that one about Meek Mills. I don't remember the name of it, but it was on Netflix.
Yeah, that was...
It was a whole, like, series.
Yeah.
Watch that.
That's some good
because
shit.
Because it will show you, like, how messed up the justice system is.
It is very fucked up.
And he would keep getting in trouble for these small infractions.
Yes. He was on probation for, like, 10, 20 years.
Yeah, and even after, like, you serve your sentence or whatever... Then you're still
on probation. Yeah.
Until who knows when. I mean, it's kind of up to the judge's discretion.
And that's one person.
They can extend that, let you violate something, or in their mind violate something. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's very unjust, the justice system.
Because it wasn't designed for everybody.
Well, that is true.
So
maybe it is working the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah, it's just working in a fucked up manner. We're going to have to put an E up on this episode of the show. I think the other piece is working, like, just coming off of work, putting something on TV. Do you think that's, like, most people who watch it? Or what do you think? Because that's going to play into, like, my next point. No, I feel like everybody.
I don't know. Like, as something to decompress after a day? Mm-hmm. I don't. I'll tell you that. I mostly watch it when I'm trying to go to bed because it puts me asleep.
Damn.
Law and Order, I've seen every episode of every season.
Oh, yeah.
And Forensic Files and Dr. G, Medical Examiner. Those will all put me to sleep in like 5 minutes. So I'm like, yes.
Damn.
it's my melatonin. So I'm sorry, where were you going for the
So I was saying it's like, I was trying to think through, like, does true crime help or hurt someone's sense of security? Like, could watching too much true crime make you feel more paranoid about the world or make you feel like you're more prepared for it?
It could. If you're paranoid, I think you should stop watching it. Because it doesn't happen, like, as frequently as you might think.
I don't know. I did download this app that Jacqueline told me about, and it's called Citizen. And it'll show you pop-ups of all the different crimes that happen around you.
You want to know that? Is that something you want
to
know about?
I didn't think I wanted to until she was somewhere else to be happening where she lived, but she lived in Ohio City.
Here's what I think. Uh-huh. Something can happen anywhere.
Yeah.
You're not
don't want to sound like that. You're not safe, but crime happens anywhere. I don't care what neighborhood you're in.
You are absolutely right.
You know, there's some people that, like, want to know if there's a sex offender who moved into their neighborhood. Like, you know, there's notifications, or you can go online and see where they're living. And it's like, you know, if I were a parent, every single adult would be a sex offender in my mind. Like, I don't need a flyer to tell me who and who isn't a sex offender, because they're all on notice. And I just, and maybe that's me just, I do have a not trusting side of myself, so maybe that's, I don't.
You err on the side of caution.
Yes.
You but I. Hear your dog barking.
Is that my dog?
Yes, that's your dog.
Oh, she must be upset.
So yes, I agree that you should always be erring on the side of caution. I think that I did download this app because I kind of wanted to be aware. Just
okay.
Not because.
Have you used it?
It gives me notifications something happened. So
ooh.
Well, here's the thing though. Not much be happening where I live.
So, how, like, is there a radius to it, or how does that really work?
It has a map. I'll show you. It has a map, and it just shows you, like, around you, seeing nothing happening around. Okay, so look. And then it just shows you, like, the big stuff happening. So, boom, in Glenville, okay, Mount Pleasant.
What's happening?
Shots.
Shots in Glenville? Mm-hmm. How far away is that from here?
5 miles.
That's pretty far. Cleveland?
Kinda-ish.
Kind-ish.
Yeah. So, but here's the thing. Look at, we cool.
We're cool.
But there's been times where, like, I'll look and see, like, what time stuff usually be happening. And I'm like, I'm going to walk my dog before certain. Like, I don't know. It makes me feel safer. Maybe it's just a false sense of security because everything gets reported.
Yeah.
But it does kind of make me feel a little bit safer.
That's what works for you.
You don't need to get it, though, if you don't want to. I understand.
No, I definitely wouldn't.
I guess the very, very, and I think we've talked about true crime a lot. What are some true crime shows that you watch? You said Forensic Files.
Yeah, I think I mentioned them all already. Law and Order, SVU.
Oh, yeah, you said you watched all of that.
Number one in my heart forever.
Damn.
Detective Stabler. After he left the show, we'll never be the same, but that's another story for another day.
Yeah.
Dr. G, Medical Examiner. Mm-hmm. It's on Amazon Prime.
Good. It's good to tell what networks, because people be searching Netflix forever.
And Forensic Files is my jam, too. Especially if you need something to fall asleep to, watch Forensic Files.
Damn, I don't know if you like true crime no more. You said you watch it all to fall asleep.
I mean, it's soothing.
Damn, it's soothing?
Something comforting about, like, a dead body. I don't know.
Oh, Lord. So I love Snapped. When I used to have cable, that was, like, the main reason I didn't want to give up cable, because I didn't want to give up Oxygen, because I love the show Snapped.
Oxygen.
I watched Deadly Women, and that's on ID Channel. So it's Scorn, Love Kills, and Killer Couples. I love ID Channel. I feel like I have a whole bunch of stuff here, but you ready to close?
Yeah. Thanks for listening to another episode.
The wine is great.
It's more than halfway gone.
Yeah.
Well, tell everyone to like and subscribe.
Yes. And share. When we hit our 1,000 downloads, we will be...
We're going to release a video that we still have to shoot. So.
Yeah, we will.
I think it's going to be like a recipe.
Yeah.
I'm like going to do a drink. Mm-hmm. I don't know what drink yet.
I have
to be
ideas.
Determined. So stay tuned for that. Are we close to 1,000 downloads?
We have time to record this video. Let's see where we are.
Oh, well, we're at 923 downloads right now.
Okay. So we got, what, 77 more?
Yeah, but we gotta, like, we gotta get on this video.
Yeah, we really do. All right, well, with that being said, we got things to do. So we appreciate you all. Thank you for listening to us. Please continue to share. And also give us some suggestions on topics. We have some in our brains, but we would love to be responsive to what our listeners would like to hear. Everybody, make sure you do one thing this week to prioritize self-care. Push it up to one thing a day once you've mastered one thing a week.
I'd like to say thanks for listening to us. I love the support. And don't get murdered between now and our next episode, because we need the downloads. So... stay safe.
Not just for the downloads.
Don't become a true crime statistic.
Uh-uh. We want you to be safe for your friends and your family and your loved ones.
And our downloads.
All right. Bye, y'all. We love you.
Bye.